What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Big News Wednesday here on the Damage Report. I am not John Iadarola, if you couldn't tell. I'm Francesca Fiorentini, hosting in for John as he takes a much needed little break here in this dark week of, I don't like what happens. Honestly, is there even news? Can we just all watch Christmas movies for the next week? All the bad ones? No, alas, there's a lot to talk about. In fact, today, and with me, Adrian Lawrence, such a pleasure to have you.
Ah, it's so good to be back on with you. It's been too long.
It's been forever. I don't know. I feel like 2022, I was missing my Adrian, and I'm so happy to have you. We got a lot to talk about. I hope you had a good Christmas.
Yeah, it's been good so far. I think we're just, full steam ahead 2023. Let's bring it.
All right, let's do it. So, okay, if you guys are brand new, which none of you should be, Dragon Squad, make sure you're liking the like button, you're clicking the things, you're doing the bells, you're doing the whistles, you're chatting and chiming in. I'm gonna read those chats. So happy to have you here. Share the stream, of course. And we got a lot to talk about, man. We got some airline corruption. Tulsi Gabbard is somehow defensible for the first time in years. Carrie Lake's plan is backfiring on her in Arizona in a major way. And then Greta Thunberg with just the most delicious own. And you gotta stay tuned for this. I love it. There's gonna be some Greta impressions. So, Adrian, are you ready to do this?
I am.
All right. Let's go forth with this.
Clearly, we need to double down on our already existing plans to upgrade systems for these extreme circumstances so that we never again face what's happening right now. I'm apologizing to them daily, and they'll be hearing more about our specific plans to ensure the challenges that they face the past few days will not be part of our future.
Yes, words we've heard before from Southwest Airlines. That's right, that's CEO Bob Jordan responding to the massive amounts of flight cancellations in the past few days from Southwest. Yes, the fares are low and the systems are from 1985. So many people have been stranded. Maybe if you're watching, you are one of those people. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, more than 90% of Wednesday's US flight cancellations were Southwest flights, according to the flight tracking website FlightAware. Southwest canceled more than 2,500 flights. The next highest was SkyWest with only 77. So here's a little graphic, you can look at that. This is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I love the forecast of what we think is going to happen. This was updated earlier today. People don't know where bags are. People don't know where their crews are. People don't know where their planes are. Why is this happening? So Southwest generally partakes in the shorter flights. So their schedule includes short flights with tighter turnaround times, which are causing troubles. Kathleen Bangs of FlightAware spokesperson told CNN, stranded customers have been unable to get through to Southwest customer service lines to rebook flights or find lost baggage. On a call with employees on Monday, Southwest Chief Operating Officer Andrew Watterson explained that the company's outdated scheduling software quickly became the main culprit of cancellations once the storm cleared. Except there were cancellations in place that didn't have storms, like California. There's no storm, there was rain. Pretty sure planes can handle rain generally. Just basic rain. But anyway, apparently it's the phones, it's the computers, it's the processing power. This is according to that chief operating officer. It's the programs used to connect us to airplanes where the problem lies, and it's systemic through the whole airline. That is the president of the Southwest Airlines Pilot Association. In other words, the union saying that, yeah, this thing, this is all arcane. This is all from a very long time ago, and the fact that we haven't updated it is a problem. Here, just because I alluded to it, this is not the first time this has happened. Let's jump down to this graphic. October 2021, Southwest canceled more than 2,000 flights over a 4-day period, costing the airline $75 million. Southwest blamed that service meltdown on a combination of bad weather in Florida, a brief problem with air traffic control in the area, and a lack of available staff to adjust those problems. And as now, then they promised they were gonna change, they swear they were gonna be better, but that hasn't happened. And let me just go to this clip from Pete Buttigieg, current head of the Department of Transportation, with harsh words for Southwest and ensuring that all the customers who are stranded, who are trying to get back to their loved ones, be compensated rightfully.
You look at the number of passengers who are stranded, you look at how hard it is even to get somebody on the phone to address it. From what I can tell, Southwest is unable to locate even where their own crews are, let alone their own passengers, let alone baggage. I conveyed to the CEO our expectation that they are going to go above and beyond to take care of passengers and to address this.
Mayo Pete demanding that people get food, accommodations. Adrian, I want to kick it to you. Do you know people who've been affected by this? It's been a huge problem around the country, in addition to the winter storms layered on top of that.
Absolutely. It seems that everywhere I turn, somebody's been impacted. And also, it's kind of harrowing to see the pictures of what's going on. And I can't imagine what that's like, especially when people have very limited time that they can take off because we live in this capitalistic society. And they're supposed to be spending it with loved ones because we are still in a pandemic, but coming out of times when we couldn't see each other. It almost felt like this was the year to finally return to some sense of normalcy with the holidays. And then we have Southwest pretty much delivering across the nation. And the thing is that even though it's system, so they say it's a tech issue and it's broken, let's be real, Southwest could have fixed this. Their gross profit from October 2021 to 2022, we're looking at $5.9 billion. That's a 53% increase year over year. Southwest has resources available. It's the fact of that they're probably giving their CEO and their execs and others plenty of funds, but not necessarily taking care of systems that would help improve situations that we could avoid.
Yeah. No, yeah. This is literally easy. Like, this is not at all hard. Like, look, I lie about understanding Google spreadsheets and Excel. I say that every time. Oh yeah, I'm really good with Excel spreadsheets. I'm not, but I figure it out. This is the equivalent of that. Like, just get a good Excel spreadsheet, guys. Like, what are you doing? But apparently their system is completely outdated. The scheduling is all off. Crews aren't necessarily like matched with schedules that make sense for them. They don't know where pilots and crews are. Then when they have the crews, they don't have the planes. So again, organize your lives and use the money that you have to update these systems. Speaking of the money, as Adrian alluded to, there's a lot of our money that has been going to Southwest. Let's go to this tweet by, of course, Senator Nina Turner, saying from 2020 to 2021, Southwest received $3.7 billion in federal aid, taxpayer money. Southwest CEO makes $9 million a year. If they can afford to pay a CEO that much, they could afford to update scheduling systems. Congressional hearings must happen. And she's right. So let's look at the evidence to back that up. Of course, as part of COVID, Southwest got $3.3 billion. In relief packages meant to boost the airline industry during the pandemic. That turned into another $3.8 billion the following April. And some of the aid serves as a loan, but Southwest is only required to return 30% of the first $3.3 billion over a 10-year period. But tell me again about how students need to repay the loans that they owe. Southwest received so much federal aid, in fact, they turned a profit of $116 million in 2021. They were the first airline to return to profitability after the pandemic. And again, with COVID, then CEO was, I believe it was Gary Kelly, not the current CEO, tried to get the mask mandate dropped and went in front of Congress and said, we don't need masks on planes. Dude came down with COVID 3 days later. So Southwest, every single corner has been trying to, you know, make more money, and the benefit since when has an airline made a move to actually benefit travelers and people paying for their services? When has that ever happened? But here we go. I mean, Adrian, you scratch the surface and it's like, is America just a free for all? This is just a supermarket sweepstakes, right? Just like go, cash grab. grab our taxpayer money and I don't know.
Exactly. Like airlines have had their hands in our pockets for quite some time, and it is by way of Congress. You know, the reality is the reason we don't have more commercial railway lines or high speed rail between these major points that people could actually use to access the cities that they want to go to is because of airliners. Air carriers do not want the competition. And right. So they have done their damnedest using their lobbyists and everything to box us out and to leave us in positions where we have to rely on them. And then look at this, we're in situations like this, things that they should have prepared for, should have prevented. And it's a hell of a thing when Southwest Airlines is far less reliable than Spirit and Frontier, yet it's something that's gonna keep happening because they have no incentive to change, especially when they have Congress people in their pockets.
Yes, exactly. I would like to take the CEO of Southwest and duct tape him to one of the chairs, like they do the Karens, you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Maybe this will teach Southwest to not try to rap when you're landing and they welcome you to a city and the flight attendant busts into a rhyme and you're like, no, please don't do that. Obviously, I'm joking. We understand that the crew is on the side of passengers in this situation, but it's just another case of again runaway capitalism in this country, as Adrian said. And right during the holidays, can we have our money back, please? We don't want just a hotel stay or meals. We want our money back. We want free flights. How about free flights for a year? Let's just do that. But this has been absolutely the year of heinous travel. So. Hope everyone is safe and getting to where they need to go. And we must hold these guys accountable. Let's move on to my least favorite story of the day, but one I think that is the most egregious and we must talk about, starting with this.
I think there's something so unique about the LGBTQ community has become this cult, and it's so captivating and it pulls people in so strongly, unlike anything we've ever seen. And they brainwash people to join, and they convince them of all of these things. And it's really, really hard to get out of it. It's really difficult.
Okay, that unfettered bigotry is coming from the mouth of Chaya Raichik. You might have heard that name because she is the person behind the Libs of TikTok account on TikTok, on Twitter, let back onto Twitter by Elon Musk. The account that has been consistently targeting LGBTQ people, targeting drag shows, consistently tweeting about different events in order to sick Proud Boys and other extremists on the LGBTQ plus community, and directly putting people in harm's way, if not, I would say, promoting and leading to violence, the straight up blood on their hands. Okay, so that's her, right? And this was a big reveal because we, up to this point, we hadn't seen her face. We didn't know what she looked like, right? We were like, wow, who is this faceless person who's just, you know, tweeting all these bigoted things out of the goodness of their black hearts? So instead, this Chaya Raichik got onto, of course, Tucker Carlson. That's right. That is Tucker Carlson. She was on for an hour saying things like she just said, that there's something wrong with gay people, that there's something wrong with the gay community, that they brainwash you. I just wanted to get, before we dive in, Adrian, your thoughts when you hear someone on primetime television talk about being brainwashed. I don't know about you, but I'm like, what happened to you, Chaya Raichik? Who hurt you? What gay kid beat you in a spelling bee? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Commented on your shoes in the fifth grade, that you're on this horse now, that you're on this path. And anyway.
Yeah, you do have to wonder what is going on. You don't know if there's some internalized self-hate or if this person just sees the queer community as their next target. But either way, it's like you're just a hate monger with eyeliner. There's nothing special about you. You're just repeating the nonsense of those who are looking to harm other marginalized groups. And it's so incredibly disheartening because you see this wave and this movement, and that right chick has latched onto it because she wants her 15 minutes of fame. And the thing is that I hope that when we're able to get past Rychik and move forward, hopefully, as a nation, that stain of disdain and disgust is something that never leaves her. And also individuals who are subscribing to her nonsense.
Yes. Yeah, and for a little bit more of that nonsense, in case you thought it was just a one-off thing or she qualified what she had to say, no, here she is doubling down on those hateful comments.
I think they're evil. And sometimes we try to break it down a lot, and you know we discuss like why this is happening, what's happening, and whatever. And I think sometimes the simplest answer is like they're just evil. They're bad people. They're just evil people, and they want to groom kids.
Yeah.
They're recruiting.
They want to groom kids, and they're evil. She's saying this on national television, people. This is someone who runs an account that has led to death threats on children's hospitals because they're spreading false information about gender affirming care. And oh no, what if the hospitals were providing gender affirming care? How terrible is it that people want to live in the bodies that they want to live in? That they want to be, they don't want to express their gender identity, that suddenly they don't have suicidal thoughts. Because they can have gender affirming care and live their life as the gender that they feel they are. So here's, I mean, it's just insane. And I think, Adrian, you said something that really struck me, which is you don't come out with that kind of hatred and you see her sort of processing it without, like, it feels very much like this is a therapy session for one. Like this is about her, and yet she's making it about everybody else. But again, it's like, is it internalized? We know that the right has because they are bigoted, because they're anti-gay, because they're so hateful. They have a long history of, you know, closeted Republicans who come out or who are like, you know, actually secretly gay, and they feel like they can't be on, like that's what it leads me to feel when I see her spew such open hatred of the gay community. I'm like, man, you're not even cloaking it anymore.
No, she's not. And the thing is, it's so unfortunate because there are so many prominent outlets that seem to be giving her play, and right, prominent people as well, and co-signing on it. And it's so incredibly sad because we do live in this faux puritanical society that has issues with sexuality, and watching people conflate sexuality with gender identity, it allows them to play on that faux puritanical sense of hatred for anything that's not just a heterosexual nature, very, as they say, missionary positions, lights off kind of thing. And the reality is that it's not reflective of all the diversity in our lives and the things that individuals want, things that individuals need that truly represent who they are. Yeah. And so by denying people that opportunity to be who they are, to live as they not only choose, but are, and it's just so incredibly disheartening, and it just holds us back. But the reality is it is unrealistic, and it is just sheer ignorance. And Rychik really pushes that in the direction that pushes us backward.
Absolutely, it is ignorance. And I wish that we could actually spend prime time discussing the differences between gender, between sexuality, speaking to trans people, like having their voices out there, having the LGBTQ+ communities discuss it. Let's have a show on prime time hosted by a drag queen. I want these things. I mean, come on, like how many years has Drag Race been on? And you still don't understand? This is nothing but fun. This is nothing but fabulousness. However, two more points on this, you guys, in case you thought it was just about anti-gay hate. There's also very specific hate against one particular journalist, Taylor Lorenz, who ever since writing a very, very solid article. I believe it was for the Washington Post. She's formerly of the New York Times and of the Washington Post, writes about internet culture and specifically writes about far right extremist internet culture, because sadly you can't really be a journalist and write about internet culture without talking about those cesspools. Taylor Lorenz talked about libs of TikTok. A lot of folks didn't know who they were, what they were doing, what their actions and their tweets and their posts were leading to. And Taylor Lorenz identified it. And for that reason, Rychik has had it out for her. And here they are, Tucker's also jumped on the Taylor Lorenz hate, naming her by name, laughing at a nickname for her. And as you can imagine, what the fallout might be, and we'll take a look at that. So watch.
People ask me all the time, this is one of the most common questions, is if you could say one thing to Taylor, what would it be? Or if you can ask her one question. And I thought about this so much, and I was never sure how to answer the question, and I thought about it a lot. And then I realized the answer is, I don't want to talk to her. She's a bad person and she's toxic. Yeah. And I don't want to, we disagree on everything. We have nothing in common. She's not a person I ever want to be in the same room with. Yes. I never want to be in her presence. So there's my answer. I don't want to talk to her.
Okay, and is this high school? Who cares if you don't want to talk to her? By the way, if you're watching this, you see that Taylor Lorenz's face has a Libs of TikTok logo in front of it. That is because the Tucker Carlson show was trying to tease the reveal of Rychik's face, very excitedly teasing it as she was openly naming Taylor Lorenz to a primetime audience once again, who has no idea who Taylor Lorenz is or why they should hate her. And here she is explaining, no, she's a toxic person. Now, when the face was revealed of Rychik, the face behind Libs of TikTok, one more thing that we should note is that folks immediately identified her as, that's right, being on January 6th outside of the Capitol, potentially going into the Capitol. Take a look at this video.
Breach the building! Go, 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 go. Get in the building! Get in the building!
So that is her. You can sort of see her in the corner of the video. She's wearing a red MAGA hat. It makes sense that she would be there. Finally, before I could get to you, Adrian, one thing that Taylor Lorenz actually responded to this Tucker Carlson segment, writing on Twitter, I've been forced to spend all day dealing with ongoing misogynistic hate campaign and Tucker and the Libs of TikTok fan attacks. I can't even begin to explain how overwhelming it is to have to deal with this level of hate and threats. But sure, let's pick apart my appearance. Yeah, and that was in response to someone talking about how they look similar, Taylor Lorenz and Rychik. Adrian, thoughts?
It's not necessarily wrong in terms of them looking similar, but it definitely seems that what they got going on are very different things. You know, you have Rychik out here spewing nothing but unfounded, absurd hate that is getting people harmed. And then you have Taylor Lorenz doing her damn job, getting to the facts, putting out journalism that is solid, and bringing attention to the issues in our society of which we should be knowledgeable of. Simply because Rychik doesn't like the fact that Lorenz does her job does not make Lorenz a toxic person. If anything, Lorenz is calling out the toxicity that is Rychik. And it's just so incredibly just, it's annoying, and it's so, the fact is that these people love to accuse others of doing the exact thing that they do.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe it anymore, because it's so, it's just, it's exactly what they do. And it's pathetic. Yeah. And it's not in any way logical, and they don't deserve to be believed, yet they have so many followers who just want to co-sign despite the facts. It's illogical and weird.
Yeah, the big difference is nobody's putting Taylor Lorenz on primetime to discuss how her feelings were hurt, or she thinks that someone that Rychik is toxic, even though she is, and they're literal death threats. But like, again, this is discrepancy between the right and the left, and the power of the media outlets, and the fact that, I mean, when I saw the Libs of TikTok is on Tucker Carlson, My God, can we get this dude off the air yet? How much blood is on his hands? How many people have to die or be forced into hiding because of him? This is not hyperbole. Anyway, hope to never see her face again. Sadly, I think she's probably gonna be offered a regular segment on that show. And on our show, we have to take a break. We will be right back after this. Welcome back, everybody, to the Damage Report. Oh, we've got time left for some good stories. I'm Francesca Fiorentini. I'm with Adrian. John is probably watching. Hi, John. What's up? How's your vacay? Cool. Good talk. We got to talk about this, though, because this has got to be the own of 2022. You know, it's been a tough contest, but my girl Greta slid in there just in the last week of 2022 to own a far right misogynist grifter, Andrew Tate, whose name you should never know about. Who cares? The guy makes a living basically being a misogynist and convincing you that you too can be a misogynist and somehow be appealing to women. Anyway, he decided to pick a fight with none other than climate activist Greta Thunberg, tweeting about his many, many cars. He tweeted, "Hello at Greta Thunberg. I have 33 cars. My Bugatti has a W16 8-liter quad turbo. My two Ferrari 812 Competizione have a This is just the start. Please provide your email address so I can send a complete list of my car collection and their respective enormous emissions." Shot of him gassing up his I don't know what that car is and do not care. And if you're watching, you can see that Greta immediately responded to the opening that he left her. "Yes, please do enlighten me," she tweeted. Or hang on. "Yes, please do enlighten me. Email me at smalldickenergy@getalife.com. That's right. Smalldickenergy@getalife.com is what she tweeted back at him. I'm wondering, it's like, please list your vehicles on www.whereareMyBalls.org. Like, she is so good. She's so good. And what do you say to that? How do you respond to a 14-year-old who just owned you like that? There's nothing you can say. There's no way you can come back. I'm sorry, sir. You just go bye-bye. You're gone forever. You should give up your cars. That's the penalty for being owned like that. Adrian, he set it up. He just set it up for her.
Absolutely. And he didn't know she's out here to hit home runs. Yeah, I love this SDE, because that's exactly what Tate radiates. Like, get out of here. Why would you go to this girl and try to flex on having a bunch of cars? Number one, the fact that you have all these cars unnecessarily tells me you're trying to compensate for something. But number two, she's just minding her business, doing her European thing, and you feel you need to go after her? Come on, man, you can spend all of this time in therapy as opposed to tweeting yourself into complete and utter embarrassment, because that's what happens here. And just, you know, I cannot wait for Tate's era to just go ahead and end, because the man just needs therapy. That is it.
Oh my God. By the way, she's not 14, she's 19.
She
but
is
again,
19. Yeah.
She's older, but my heart, she's always gonna be that 14-year-old girl. But no, she is 19 now, which I don't know, maybe this is his move. I guess he usually hits on 19-year-old girls, so maybe he's trying to hit on her. As disgusting as that sounds, it's pretty much what the dude's made, like a cottage industry of doing things like that. Just so fragile. Guys, look. You don't need to tweet at Greta Thunberg. Just drive your car. This is my thing about rich people. It's my thing about misogynists. This is my thing. Look, if you're happy with your life, then why do you tweet about it? Just be happy. Don't just live your life. Once I was in a car. I was in a smart car because I drove an electric smart car just to own the GOP. And there was a Beamer in front of me, a brand new one of those, like, oh my God, I've seen that in a movie, maybe once, Beamers. And and like got so mad at me because I was tailing him a little bit because he passed. The point is, if you're rich and you have a Beamer, I'm a little smart car. Why are you mad at me? Go live your rich Beamer life. Go live your rich Andrew Tate, misogynist grifter life, webcam girl life, or whatever the hell it is you do to make money, bro. Like, why do you tweet at Greta Thunberg? No one asked you to do that. That's what I don't understand. It shows more about you than it says about anybody else. Nobody was talking about you. Well, nobody's thinking about you. You can't pick up girls? Okay, so you can't pick up girls with all your cars. So you got to tweet at a 19-year-old. I love it. Anywho, let's move on. Miss Carrie Lake. That's right. Carrie Lake of Arizona is just digging that grave even deeper. First she lost her election, bad enough. Then she lost the lawsuit claiming that she didn't lose the election. Oof, so tough. And now seems like Carrie Lake's got to cough up some cash. That's right. Arizona Governor-elect Katie Hobbs in Maricopa County asked the court to issue sanctions against Carrie Lake, the Republican who lost to Hobbs last month and refuses to accept the election results. The request come 2 days after it ruled against Lake's effort to reverse the election results, saying there's no clear and convincing evidence of malfeasance that it would have impacted the outcome of the state's gubernatorial race. So first there's sanctions. Again, sanctions not just for Russian oligarchs apparently. Carrie Lake sanctions. Seems like that might not happen, but what will happen is there's gonna be some financial penalties. So Judge Peter Thompson of Maricopa County Superior Court determined that Carrie Lake must pay Arizona Governor-elect Katie Hobbs roughly $33,000 to cover expert witness fees that she incurred. 33? You could do more than that. Maybe, come on, a little bit more than that. For the amount, for the cost, for the threats, for the BS. Anyway, Thompson wrote in his decision that while Lake's lawsuit failed to prove she lost the race against Hobbs because of some kind of election misconduct, it was not duplicitous of her to sue. The fact that Lake failed to meet the burden of clear and convincing evidence does not equate to a finding her claims were or were not groundless and presented in bad faith. Adrian, weigh in here. So there's this $33,000 she's got to pay. It's not going to be more than that because the judge says it was in good faith, that her claims are not groundless or presented in bad faith is effectively what I'm seeing there. What do you think?
That's what the court is saying in terms of saying that they didn't make a finding of frivolousness, as then she didn't bring it for no reason whatsoever in terms of Carrie Lake bringing this challenge against Hobbs. I would beg to differ, given that Lake has been on the record saying that she will accept the win as long as she's the one who won the Arizona gubernatorial race. So that would tell me that this person never had any kind of sound motive for challenging Hobbs' win. But the good thing here is that Hobbs can appeal the ruling. And since Carrie Lake said she will be appealing this ruling, they're gonna be before an appellate court no matter what. So that means that Hobbs will have a chance to go ahead and appeal it and ask for more. Cause I believe Hobbs had spent like $700,000 in attorney's fees fighting this fight. And that's a lot of money, cause $33,000 ain't nothing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Lake is going to continue to push on to the appellate courts. And let's hope that the Arizona Court of Appeals which is what I assume will be hearing this, that intermediary court there, that they will reverse that decision, because the reality is that Lake did not have any kind of grounds for bringing this challenge, any kind of legitimate grounds, as I would say. And Hobbs shouldn't have to reach into her pockets to pay for all of these attorney's fees and costs simply because Lake does not want to get on board with following and abiding by the law and taking her L with dignity.
Yeah. And it does not bode well if it's just $33,000 for future election deniers and losers, as the MAGA cohort have been as of late, when they just want to challenge an election. And they not only are going to distract and sort of taint the beginning of that that governor or whomever, that elected official's time in office, but also their money. They're gonna be draining their money. And so it doesn't bode well for that. However, it's not just gonna be $33,000 if she fails to pay it, because Lake will have to pay 7.5 annual interest on it until the full amount is paid. Lake is responding like this. For our founders, America was just an idea. This is a tweet. For us, America has been a reality. It is up to us to ensure that America does not become a memory. It's up to you to not become a memory, to keep on staying relevant and going on Charlie Kirk's show as if that dude is relevant at all. And with an interest going up $33,000, that's going to be a memory because that's going to increase every single year. So you better pay up. But as Adrian said, this is not over. This is going to continue. And Carrie Lake is just going to continue to just sort of descend into the Wicked Witch of the West. Like, oh, what a world, what a world, what a world, what a world. At least that's what I hope. Until Trump chooses her over Marjorie Taylor Greene as running mate. What do we think? Is it going to be like a Marjorie DeSantis v. Trump Lake?
You know what? That actually could work out. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trump tried to do some sister wives thing and said, I'm having two vice presidents on my ticket. That's right. Would not be surprised.
You can't trust one woman because two women equal one man. That's what I've always said. The strength and the brain power. Oh my God. Trump Lake. It does kind of sound good, like in a dumb guy way, right? In a dumb, I can only respond to like single syllabic words way.
And I'm feeling it. I wouldn't be surprised if Lake would be gleeful in taking that ticket and also probably try to undermine him so that, you know, he could end up incarcerated in some way so she could take the presidency. I don't know, but I think this is like a plot for a really good movie, or at least a B-list.
Yeah, Netflix. Fiction, right? Just straight. I just wanted to be fictitious and enjoy it. Just a streaming. All right. We got to take our second break. There's more news on the other side of this. Don't go anywhere.
The thing is, Congressman-elect, integrity means, yes, carrying yourself with honor, but it means telling the truth, being a person of integrity.
Of
and
course.
If I were one of those in New York's third district right now, now that the election is over and I'm finding out all of these lies that you've told, not just one little lie or one little embellishment, these are blatant lies. My question is, do you have no shame? Do you have no shame?
Usually, that's a question I reserve for Tulsi Gabbard, who once called herself a progressive and is now filling in for Tucker Carlson. But hey, a broken clock, you know, and here she is actually grilling New York Congressperson elect George Santos, who's been caught in a million different lies this week, grilling him about those lies. And I don't think he was expecting a progressive turned Republican on Tucker Carlson to grill him quite like that, asking him if he has no shame. Obviously, this is just one of the best stories of the year. House GOP, by the way, has been very silent on this, not speaking about George Santos's many lies, including the fact that he is a property owner, that he went to college, that he is Jewish. He's none of the three of those things, and we'll get into that a little bit more later. He's been fabricating his resume for a while now. He's admitted to fabricating sections of his resume, including his past work experience and education, has apologized, but says he intends to serve in Congress. And again, we're all kind of wondering, well, all Republicans are liars, whether it's about, you know, trickle down economics working or whether it's about Trump, you know, being the rightful president. They're liars generally. But for some reason, this story is really broken through because the guy has been doing it just so comically. All right, now I'm sure you're wondering how the hell did he respond to Tulsi Gabbard asking him so pointedly whether he has no shame? Let's watch this.
Do you have no shame in the people who are now you're asking to trust you to go and be their voice for them, their families, and their kids in Washington?
Tulsi, I can say the same thing about the Democrats and the party. Look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden's been lying to the American people for 40 years. He's the president of the United States. Democrats resoundingly support him. Do they have no shame?
This is not about the Democratic Party, though. This is about your relationship, frankly, with the people who've entrusted you to go and fight for them.
Ooh, stone cold Tulsi Gabbard. Finally using her powers for good, I guess. Adrian, please were you expecting this?
I wasn't, because the thing is, it's like Santos's lies are not normal lies. They're not even Trump level lies. It's like you don't, number one, have the cachet to get away with those kind of lies. And also the things you lied about are quite abysmal. The fact that you said, oh, I never said I was Jewish, I'm Jewish. Like, there are lines that you just don't cross. And also the fact is that the Republican Party, they recognize we don't know him well enough. People know Trump. People know a lot of the liars in the game. And so they feel that they can trust them, given that they know the extent of the line. But Santos, this man clearly seems to be the Milli Vanilli of politics. And it is not going to look good for the GOP when that hits the wall. Because if you cannot trust the things he's saying now, you do not know the extent of the line, you're not going to trust him to be able to execute GOP's agenda. And I think that that's what the Republican Party is afraid of right now.
Well, I mean, what's curious is that usually they'll take anyone, right? As long as you won your election, they just want winners. And your record usually doesn't get grilled. I mean, this wasn't, you know, the GOP didn't do this investigation, although there it's very clear that they knew that he was embellishing slash lying on his resume. But usually they're fine with that. So it's funny now to see at least some right wingers like Tulsi Gabbard actually care about consistency, actually care about telling the truth about your own record. And as Adrian mentioned, you're not Trump. You don't have that name brand recognition to just lie about literally everything. You know, you gotta accumulate that. That's years, decades of lying to the American people, and then you can proudly get away with your lies. But unlike Tulsi Gabbard, one person is very upset that anyone would ever question a Republican's record, probably because she doesn't want her record questioned at all, and that is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I don't know, maybe she was pissed that she wasn't tapped to fill in for Tucker, although there probably is a law against that, a sitting congressperson doing that, but who knows. Taylor Greene tweeted, Tulsi Gabbard, who says she is a former Democrat, gave Rep-elect George Santos zero grace while George is admitting and apologizing for lying about his resume, just like her former colleagues are giving George zero grace and even demanding he resign. So she's former colleagues, meaning Democrats, former colleagues, meaning people with just, again, any kind of like hypocrisy meter, consistency. But it goes on, and you gotta watch this, because Adrian, you'd think that after the, oh no, I'm Jew-ish comments, that maybe he would rephrase that or just fully apologize for claiming he was Jewish. Tulsi didn't let that comment slide past her or the viewers of the show. Watch.
And I think one of the questions that really probably hits home to a lot of people is, are you Jewish? We've got a letter that your campaign sent out earlier this year, which reads as follows. As a proud American Jew, I've been to Israel numerous times for educational, business, and leisurely trips. You said there in that letter that you are, quote, a proud American Jew. How do you explain that?
My heritage is Jewish. I've always identified as Jewish. I was raised a practicing Catholic. I think I've gone through this. Not being raised a practicing Jew, I've always joked with friends and circles, even with in the campaign, I'd say, guys, I'm Jew-ish. Remember, I was raised Catholic. So look, I understand everybody wants to nitpick at me. I'm going to reassure this once and for all. I'm not a facade. I'm not a persona. I have an extensive career.
Of what? Can you be, because your career is also weird too, if we just leave behind the Jew-ish comment. Adrian, thoughts? He clarified, he said ish a lot in that particular way. There was a stress on the ish.
Girl, the extensive career he has is likely in fraud. The fact is, he had what? He all of a sudden went from having like what, no net worth, I think, in 2020 to all of a sudden being able to lend his campaign $700,000. There is something very wrong here. And given the extent of his lies and misrepresentations, I wouldn't be surprised if in scratching beneath the surface that there is things found out to be that are fraudulent, that ends up having the U.S. Attorney's Office, Southern District of New York, pursuing handcuffs on this man. And as a result, they need to have someone fill his position because he is removed from Congress. Mm-hmm. This is not a good bet on the GOP to allow this man to be sworn in. And I think they know that. But whether they're going to have the gumption to stand up and do something now as opposed to later is really the question as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, if they do dig into his actual career and the possible fraud, he's gonna wanna go back to the Jewish thing. He's gonna be like, oh, can we talk about the Jewish stuff? Because I am my grandmother. You look, I am not Jewish, and I'm not saying that you can't be ethnically Jewish and be raised Catholic and grow up religiously Catholic. I haven't seen it a lot. I'm just gonna put that, not a common thing, not a super common thing. And definitely not common for someone to say, I'm Jewish because my maternal grandmother talked about maybe being Jewish. And I don't know. No. And again, he's a politician. We know what he used Jewish to do. He used it to get money. He used it to raise funds based on his personal identity. And actually, the Republican Jewish Coalition has some principle around this. So they, on Graphic 5, they're writing, we're very disappointed in Congressman-elect Santos. He deceived us, misrepresented his heritage, said executive director of the Republican Jewish Coalition. In public comments and to us personally, he previously claimed to be Jewish. He has begun his tenure in Congress on a very wrong note. He will not be welcome at any future RJC event. So they're making their stance known. Kevin McCarthy, are you, anyone wanna, yeah, anyway, okay. I guess we'll just leave it to Tulsi then. Just this one time. All right, we have time for one more story or no? Kind of, yes, a little bit. All right, why don't we jump down to C briefly? All right, there has been some minimal prison reform on Joe Biden's watch. President Biden on Tuesday signed into law a bill requiring the Federal Bureau of Prisons to overhaul outdated security systems and fix broken surveillance cameras after rampant sexual abuse and inmate escapes and high profile deaths. Yes, Epstein. This is a story about Epstein. We're going to talk about it. But the bipartisan Prison Camera Reform Act passed Senate last year and the House on December 14th, and it requires the Bureau of Prisons to evaluate and enhance security camera radio and public address systems at its 122 facilities. This was a John Ossoff bill, very cool. The guy I haven't heard a lot from, so it's great that he actually proposed this. The agency must submit a report to Congress within 3 months detailing deficiencies in a plan to make needed upgrades. The upgrades are required within 3 years, and the Bureau must submit annual progress reports to lawmakers. This is Ossoff saying broken prison camera systems are enabling corruption, misconduct, and abuse. That's why I brought Republicans and Democrats together to pass my Prison Camera Reform Act, which is now law. And yeah, the Epstein link. It makes itself apparent here because there has been an issue, not just with his death, but the death of other inmates. And if it takes a high profile death to bring light to the rest, I think that's good. The Justice Department's internal watchdog found deficiencies with security cameras have compromised investigations into staff misconduct, the introduction of contraband, civil rights violations, and inmate deaths. To say nothing of course, we understand that the people who have been most targeted in some of the violence that goes on in prisons are women, specifically through sexual violence and abuse of inmates at women's prisons. Adrian, thoughts on this minor victory?
Oh, I think that this is an important one. Unfortunately, we have individuals who are in positions of power who are entrusted with the safety of those who are incarcerated, and they exploit them and take advantage of them. Especially, we've heard cases of women being rampantly sexually assaulted, impregnated by guards and staff, and then they are coming up with every other excuse under the sun because there is no footage necessarily there keeping tabs on people. And so to ensure that this footage is put into place so that you have that camera operating and hopefully it is operating properly, that is incredibly important in terms of keeping an eye on people. But then again, those inside these institutions who are going to be charged with ensuring that they're working, we need to ensure that they face consequences in the event that they're not working, that no one can say, well, it was a mistake. No, there should be heads rolling.
Right, absolutely. And I keep on coming back to Epstein, but that's just because there was the footage missing, right? From the prison cell. there was footage missing. They didn't have it. I mean, this is effectively putting, you know, body cams on cops. It doesn't guarantee, in fact, we know it does not prevent people from being brutalized, civilians from being brutalized by police officers, but at least there is a record and they can actually, if we finally hold them accountable, be held accountable. Adrian, thanks so much for joining me on the Damage Report on Big News Wednesday. There was so much news. You broke it down. I appreciate y'all. Everybody, see, catch me tomorrow for another edition of the Damage Report. And until then, stay safe out there, stay sane out there, and yeah, slay out there.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.